Uh-oh, guess what day it is?
Who gets up this early?
Huh? Anybody? Guess what day it is? Oh, come on, I know you can hear me.
I just think it's going to be a good day.
Guess what day it is?
You asked for it, and you got it. The Morning Answer with Joey Hudson. Get caught up on what happened while you were sleeping with breaking news, weather, and traffic on 94.5 The Answer.
Greenville Police Department officials say that a suspect who fired at law enforcement during a chase yesterday is expected to face multiple charges once released from an area hospital. According to police spokesperson Donnie Porter, the chase started yesterday near a Quick Trip on Malden Road. Porter said that an officer was flagged down and told that a man had fired shots at another man and woman from a vehicle. The officer was given a description of the suspect and later located him. Tried to stop him when the man decided to flee. He's identified as Cedric Arnold, 39, of Greenville. He would not stop, and a chase occurred. Fortunately, no one was shot during the incident. Officials say that Arnold fired shots at law enforcement officers during the chase, including at police, deputies, and troopers, as officers from multiple agencies became involved. Greenville Police Chief Ken Miller spoke at a news conference yesterday to give us an update on what had happened.
He actually did fire upon our officers who tried to stop him, and he initiated pursuit with our officers. When you have armed individuals who are assaultive in their behavior and they present an immediate and deadly threat to members of our community, we take action.
The gunfire continued as Arnold reportedly looped back towards Quick Trip, this time shooting at a highway patrol trooper who was sitting in the parking lot. During the chase, which reached speeds up to 80 miles per hour, we're told, the Greenville County Sheriff's Office had also joined the chase, with deputies ultimately pinning Arnold's vehicle at a different Quick Trip on Whitehorse Road. Officials said that he put up a fight, and three deputies received minor injuries during the scuffle with Arnold while they were trying to handcuff him. Greenville County Sheriff Johnny McBrown described how deputies eventually were able to detain Arnold during the scuffle.
Deputies had to use a taser to subdue the suspect in order to take him into custody.
Officials say that the incident may have stemmed from a road rage incident, but said they're continuing to look into the circumstances surrounding the initial shooting. Arnold was then taken to a nearby hospital for treatment. Police and South Carolina Law Enforcement Division agents spent time looking for bullet casings along the chase route after Arnold was taken into custody. Law enforcement officials say that they are thankful that no one was hit by the gunfire during the incident. Chief Ken Miller with the Greenville Police Department confirmed that there were no firearms discharged by any of the officers involved.
There were no firearms discharges by any of the officers or troopers involved. The only firearms that were discharged by the suspect, subject who is under arrest.
Arnold will reportedly face multiple charges once he's released from the hospital, including attempted murder, possession of a weapon during a violent crime, resisting arrest, and other charges. It's not his first time to have a brush with the law. He was arrested back in 1999 for other crimes. We'll update you on this as more information comes forward. Breaking overnight, additional information being released on the Jeffrey Epstein suicide case. Guards at the New York City jail facility where Epstein is said to have killed himself are suspected of falsifying log entries to show that they were checking on him every 30 minutes as had been required. Evidently, according to some video that has been watched since, it shows that the guards actually had fallen asleep. Surveillance video reviewed after Epstein's death shows that the guards at the Metropolitan Correctional Center did not make some of the checks that they claimed they made in their logs. This is being reported by the Associated Press and the New York Times. Citing unnamed officials, that the guards fell asleep at some point, did not check on him up to 3 hours. Which this would explain some of the reports that Epstein's body was actually cold when they found him. Federal jail workers claimed that they, of course, were checking on Epstein every half hour as they were supposed to. This video, of course, shows they did not. They're being placed on administrative leave during the investigation. Also yesterday, President Donald Trump doubled down when asked about his promotion of the unsubstantiated conspiracy theories in wake of Jeffrey Epstein's suicide. Now, you'll recall shortly after this man committed suicide over the weekend, President Trump sort of sparked an outrage among some on the left when he retweeted Terrence Williams. He's a right-wing Twitter personality. He had placed a video, had tweeted a video that talks about him speculating and claiming that that Epstein would just be another hashtag Clinton body count. It became viral. The president retweeted it. And the president, of course, under fire because he was claiming that the president was promoting this conspiracy theory. When asked yesterday as he was headed to Pennsylvania for one of his rallies, Trump said that Williams is a highly respected conservative pundit and explained that the commotion that it was a retweet. It wasn't from me, he said. The president justified retweeting Williams's video.
Yeah, he's a very highly respected conservative pundit. He's a big Trump fan. That was a retweet. That wasn't from me. That was from him. But he's a man who has half a million followers, a lot of followers, and he's respected. And as you know, Bill Barr wants to do an entire investigation of the whole Epstein matter.
Yesterday, former governor and former Congressman Mark Sanford says that he is definitely considering a bid for the White House.
The continued input of people, whether up that way, which will be a different perspective, or the perspective of a lot of folks that I've talked to here along the coast of South Carolina and across the state, which I represented, obviously, for 8 years of my life as former governor.
When asked about his chances, Mr. Sanford says it's clear his chances are somewhat of a long shot.
Let's be clear. This hadn't happened in a long time. It was the more than 100 years ago, the 21st president was the first guy not to get the nomination of his party. So Chester Arthur, of all folks. But what I do think is important is a conversation, and you just don't know where it leads. And the people that have been encouraging me to do this have said we need to have a conversation about what it means to be a Republican, because the bent that we've been moving toward here of late is not consistent with the values and the ideals that they've believed in for a very long time.
So Mark Sanford still talking about being president. In an exclusive interview, acting ICE director Matthew Albin sits down with NBC News in response to this now viral video of the 11-year-old girl crying for her father who was detained during the recent Mississippi immigration raids. The video of the 11-year-old girl has been seen by millions and millions has fueled criticism of the raids from the left.
Some of the most difficult things that we have to do in our jobs to enforce the laws involve the separation of parents from children. Every law enforcement officer has to deal with that at some point in their career. Many officers, on a daily basis, when an officer goes in to arrest somebody for a crime of domestic violence, one of those, the children in there, is going to be crying. We conduct our operations with professionalism, with compassion, and with humanity, and try our best to minimize the impact on the innocent people of this situation. However, we have to enforce the law. Every law enforcement agency enforces the law against individuals who have broken it. The parents or the individuals that are breaking the law are ultimately the ones that are responsible for placing their children in this situation.
877-235-9405. Glad to have you along on this Wednesday morning. Lots of ways for you to join the conversation. Obviously, you can call. Two options there. Option one, Tommy will put you in queue. We'll talk on air. Option two, just leave a quick message. And, of course, your emails are welcome, joey@joeyhudson.com. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Talk945. I'm on there as well. Just search for Joey Hudson. And as always, your phone calls. We love talking with you. And your comments on the Big Rock text line. Let's go to Randy, who is waiting patiently in Lincolnton. Welcome in, Randy.
Hey, Joey. Love your show, man. Enjoy listening to you on my way to work every day. You said something that I just, and it may just be kind of a nuance, but you said something that I wanted to bring attention to. You said that during these raids in Mississippi that you felt like the employers were responsible, you guess. And to me, it just seems like that they're mostly responsible, because if they didn't hire people, if they would go to extreme lengths to verify people's citizenship or their legality as far as being here, then if they did that, then people would not be able to,
right.
Illegal people would not be able to get the jobs. And so it seems like that'd be a cure-off, like E-Verify or something like that.
Right. Well, and that's what's unknown right now, Randy, is we don't know if maybe they violated some of the Mississippi's E-Verify system. One of the things that when this raid happened last week and some of the news conferences following, one of the things that the Border Patrol and ICE and everybody involved were very clear to make, one of the points they were very clear to make, was the fact that a lot of these workers were breaking the law in multiple ways. Number one, they were here illegally, but number two, identity theft is a big thing. And, some of the reports would lead you to think that all these people had Social Security cards, Social Security numbers. And so the question is there something that maybe these companies, a little extra step that they could take to be sure that the Social Security numbers and the documentation that these people give to them when they apply is correct. Now, I've never been in this position, so I'm not sure how you verify if a Social Security number that you're given is actually for that person. I'm sure there's a way. But I understand that there's further investigation, and there may be charges brought against some of these employers.
Well, I hope so. I think that, if you deal with that end of it, that it'll take care of some of the other aspects of that. If the employers, if there's a serious repercussion for hiring somebody illegally, and there's a way to verify whether they're here illegally or not, then I think it would stop it. Because if people don't have jobs that come here illegally for that, then they're going to go back home.
Yeah.
I would assume.
That's right. I mean, they call it self deportation. And you're
right.
If they come here because they want a better life, they come here thinking they can get a better job, earn more money for their family. So if those jobs aren't available, then hopefully, they'll go back.
So, right. Well, I appreciate it, Joey. I appreciate your comment.
All right. Thank you for listening, Randy. Good to hear from you. Have a safe day. The Evangelical Lutheran Church in America has become the country's first sanctuary church body. We'll tell you about that, as well as guess what happens. Speaking of these ICE raids, guess what happens when these occur? Illegals are arrested, and some of those jobs become open. I'll tell you about that up next as well, here on 94.5 The Answer.
The Answer. 94.5 WGTK. The Answer.
Imagine every person that you see is somewhat different.
I told you we'd be back. It's the all-new Morning Answer with Joey Hudson. A 94.5 The Answer.
Some can do something. Some can do others. Did you ever think of the many things you've learned to do? Many things. Did you ever grow anything in the garden of
So news mind? From the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America yesterday, as they announced that they're going to become a sanctuary church body. That's right. According to church officials, they represent nearly 3.5 million Lutherans in the country. The measure approved during a church-wide assembly recently in Milwaukee pledges that in addition to providing shelter for undocumented immigrants, that the ELCA could respond to raids, deportations, and the criminalization of immigrants and refugees. I guess like the one in Mississippi last week. They say that they would fight individual cases of deportation, press for the end of mass detentions, and lift up immigrants' voices. They will take prophetic action to extend radical hospitality to immigrants and immigrant communities. Not sure what radical hospitality is. The measure, called a memorial, notes that some ELCA churches and organizations, such as its Metro New York Synod, are already carrying out these actions. We're told that a church committee plans to study what it means to be a sanctuary church body, and they're going to issue a report in 2022. The ELCA will also develop guidelines and resources for the denomination's more than 9,000 congregations, according to church officials, to help them explore and develop sanctuary ministries. The article on CNN says notes that despite the name Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, it's distinct from the larger evangelical Christian movement, which tends to be more politically and theologically conservative. Christopher Vergara, who works on immigration issues in the ELCA's Metro New York Synod, said Christians have offered sanctuary for 2,000 years, continuing an ancient biblical practice in which cities and houses of worship provided refuge and asylum for people fleeing injustice. He's right to a degree there, yes. Christians have offered sanctuary. I'm not sure how I feel about a church organization like this, though, offering sanctuary to people who are breaking the law. I think there's a bit of a difference in offering sanctuary for someone, for example, who maybe is experiencing persecution because of their religion. But don't you think there's a bit of a difference if you're offering sanctuary to someone who's breaking the law? I mean, it's like the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America has decided that they're going to become the fourth arm of our government and decide that it's okay for people to be here illegally. So we're going to house them, we're going to clothe them, we're going to feed them, we're going to encourage them, we're going to help fight their case for deportation. I'd love to hear from some of you who maybe are Lutherans. 877-235-9405. How do you feel about this? How do you feel about a major denomination like this in America saying that they're going to become a sanctuary church body? So I guess what this means is that if you're an illegal immigrant and you're in Greenville, South Carolina, and you want some help, just run over to North Main Street to Trinity Lutheran Church, and they'll hide you. They'll protect you. Is that what this means? Vergara also tied this measure to sanctuary movement, which began with churches in the 1980s, which assisted refugees in Central America. Today, the new sanctuary movement is a revived effort to protect undocumented migrants from needless jailing procedures and deportation, and to address the dire situation within the Department of Health and Human Services that has resulted in the stripping of services to refugees and unaccompanied children. The church says that none of the proposed actions break the law. More than 800 churches and other faith communities have stepped up to provide sanctuary to undocumented immigrants in recent years, according to the National Sanctuary Movement. I'm not sure either how I understand the church saying that it doesn't break the law if you're harboring people who are here illegally. How can that not be breaking the law? Officials, we're told, with a warrant, can arrest undocumented immigrants regardless of whether they're at a church or not. Although ICE has said that it generally avoids arresting in, quote, sensitive locations. Tony in Travers Rest writes on the Big Rock text line, Joey, the Lutheran Church is only doing this because their attendance and finances have taken a downward spiral that started 3 years ago. Barbie says, unfortunately, entering the country illegally is not upheld in our justice system as breaking the law. Maybe that's their explanation on that, Barbie. All right, we'll get back to your phone calls and your comments. Up next, Representative John McCravey from Greenwood is going to visit us for a few minutes to talk about give us an update on the fetal heartbeat bill that passed in the House. And it looks like there's going to be some activity this fall in the Senate. It's 731 on 94.5 The Answer.
I have just been listening to you and just wanted to call in, and I think this is such a great idea to have somebody that's a local voice, and, you know, we have some local news, and, of course, nobody knows politics better than you do.
Congratulations on your new post as the morning host here.
I just wanted to let you know that I always appreciate your perspective and your common sense approach to the issues.
Grab another cup of coffee and join The Morning Answer with Joey Hudson on 94.5 The Answer.
Texter on the Big Rock text line writes, seems like Lutherans hold a doctrine of zero-sum gain, where the only way to be charitable to the immigrant is to be uncharitable to the fellow citizen, taking away jobs and safety from your own. This in response to the story that the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the ELCA, has become the country's first sanctuary church body. Reverend Elizabeth Eaton, the ELCA's presiding bishop, and more than 700 others marched to ICE's Milwaukee office, where they held a prayer vigil, we're told. The march and the sanctuary measure is in response to the Trump administration's immigration policies, according to church officials, including the detention of migrant children and families entering the U.S. at the southern border. 877-235-9405, would love to get your feedback. I'm going to get to some of your phone calls here in just a minute. Many of you are waiting patiently as we talk about the Lutheran Church, the ELCA. I mean, be sure that I get that right, because I know they're different Lutheran denominations, but the ELCA is now becoming the first sanctuary church body. They're doing this. They say that they want to respond to raids, deportations, and the criminalization of immigrants and refugees. Church officials claim that none of the proposed actions are illegal. But you got to ask yourself, is it right that if you're in Greenville, South Carolina, illegally, and you find yourself in trouble, all you have to do is run over to North Main Street to Trinity Lutheran, and I guess they'll protect you. Or any other Lutheran church. I just happen to know that Trinity's on North Main. Been a church in the upstate, been here many, many years. 877-235-9405. Love to hear from you if you are of the Lutheran faith. We'll get back to you, and I promise to get to your phone calls here in just a minute. Abortion rights advocates plan to protest what they see as an effort to fast-track the fetal heartbeat abortion ban that we've talked about a number of times on the show. A Senate Medical Affairs Subcommittee is scheduled to hear testimony on September the 10th on this which would, in effect, ban abortions at about 6 weeks of pregnancy. I asked my friend John McCravey, who represents District 13 in Greenwood County, to join me for a minute. Representative Cravey, always good to have you, and wanted to give us a quick update. You guys, from what I understand, you're kind of sneaky. You're trying to sneak this through the Senate. But now, let me give you a little advice, Representative McCravey. If you're going to be sneaky, don't tell the state newspaper about it.
Joey, thank you so much for the honor of being on your show again. You do so much. Your show is very important to our state, and especially to our upstate, and I want to thank you for that.
Well, thank you. Appreciate your kind words.
You know, I wish we were more sneaky than we are. The subcommittee announced that they're going to have a hearing on this in the Senate, and they've let the public know over a month in advance, and it's in the state newspaper. You know, this bill was sent to the Senate in April, So it's not like it's a surprise. It was pre-filed last year.
Yeah.
So Planned Parenthood are the people behind this. They're the ones complaining. And, you know, this bill threatens their profits. I mean, that's really what it comes down to.
Yeah.
They profit from this industry, from this abortion industry. So that's what they're worried about.
Well, so September the 10th is scheduled to have the subcommittee is having hearings, and then we have to, I think it's probably pretty likely that it'll be sent to the full Medical Affairs Committee, right?
That's correct. And, you know, subcommittees and committees, they meet all the time at a time when the session is not in. You know, the oversight committee's meeting, the budget committee meets, you know, all kind of committees meet. So it's not anything unusual. It's just the fact that they see us making progress on this, and they don't like it.
Yeah. So once it gets the approval of the Medical Affairs Committee, then it's sent out to the full Senate. That's when it gets a little dicier, right?
Yes, sir. You know, the last abortion effort that was in the Senate died because of the filibuster, and they have a rule that allows one senator even can get up and filibuster as long as they want to, and it can go on for days. And the only way to beat that filibuster is to get enough votes to override the filibuster.
Yeah.
And last time they were about two votes short. So we're looking for that to change, and we're praying that God would give us the victory in this matter.
Yep. And so what we need to do is to start talking with our state senator so that when the time comes, when you guys go back to Columbia in January, we need to find two or three or four or five or six more senators, right?
That's correct.
Yeah.
And, you know, if all the Republicans would do the right thing, we would have enough.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately, now let me say this. There are a couple of Democrats that will cross over and vote the right way on this, too. So, you know, it's a matter that's important. You know, it's just we're in a spiritual battle in this state.
Yes.
You know, we're battling, and, you know, not only talk to your senator, but I would say pray about it, because
absolutely.
Prayer got us through and got the bill passed in the House, I'm convinced.
Yeah.
We had so many things that came up against it that were thrown against it, but it passed anyway because the Lord was behind it.
And it, so, it passed overwhelmingly in the House.
It did.
Yeah.
It did.
Yeah.
We got 70 votes.
Yeah. You guys did a fantastic job ushering it through the House. So now we just got to get it through the Senate, because we know that Governor Henry McMaster will sign it.
That's correct. He has said that over and over again, and he can't wait. He was at the Republican convention and said that and got cheers from the crowd.
Yep.
So
yep.
People are behind this. The people are behind this.
Yep. Representative John McCravey, it's always good to have you visit with us. And I'm still planning a trip down to Greenwood sometime so we can meet over at Fat Daddy's for some barbecue.
Let's do that. Let's do that.
That's a good barbecue. I've been hearing so many people talk about Fat Daddy's that I got to come down there sometime.
Well, come on down.
Yep. All right. Good to have you. Appreciate you spending a few minutes with us this morning. Have a great day.
Thank you, Joey.
Sure thing.
We appreciate you.
Absolutely. John McCravey represents District 13 in Greenwood, and that's good news. I think it's so funny that they're a little bit critical, saying that they're being sneaky. How can you be sneaky when the state newspaper knows about it and they publish it? All right, we're going to get back to your phone calls here. As a lot of you fired up, you want to talk about this situation with the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America becoming the first sanctuary church body. Is this something that a church should be involved in? Look, I understand when they talk about churches being sanctuary for people being persecuted for thousands of years, but I think of that as a point of when Christians are being persecuted, or when people being persecuted because of their religion. But when they're being protected because they're breaking the law, is that something that a church, and especially an entire denomination representing 3.5 million Christians in the U.S. Is that a role they should be playing? We'll talk about it up next here on 94.5 The Answer.
It's the Morning Answer on 94.5 The Answer.
Chris is in Simpsonville. Welcome in, Chris.
Morning, Joy. Hope you're doing well.
Wonderful. How are you, sir?
Hanging in there. I think we may have something we agree on here. I don't see how we can actually put a price.
Hey, Chris, let me interrupt you. I need to run around the corner here. Tommy just passed out when you said that you think there's something we agree on.
Get the smelling salt.
Buckle up. It could get rough. The Morning Answer with Joey Hudson on 94.5 The Answer.
Dom writes on the Big Rock text line, of course they're breaking the law. This in reference to the Lutheran Church announcing that they're going to become the first sanctuary church. This is the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Dom says it's no different than hiding a bank robber after they robbed the bank. Aiding and abetting a criminal is against the law, no matter where they are. Ask your police officer, listeners. Thanks, Joey. Have a great day. Charles says, I guess it's time to take away their nonprofit tax exemptions to cover the cost of the illegals being here. And Barbie says the Evangelical Lutherans are the first declared sanctuary church. Others have been providing sanctuary for years, particularly the Catholics. Let's go to the phones. Gary is in Rutherfordton. Welcome in, Gary.
How you doing, Joey? Nice to be on the program. I always listen to you.
Thank you, Gary. Appreciate your call.
I was going to call in, but I've been an employer for 40-something years, worked all people from all walks of life. The thing about the people south of the Rio Grande, to share a quick little story with you, we had employed six people, and Social Security sent us a letter and said, if you don't get rid of these people in so many days, we're going to start fining you so much per day. And so I had my girl call. And, well, actually, at that moment, I had a copy of that letter made. I met with my people that were Spanish-speaking people and said, here's the situation. I'm going to have to let you go. And they were good people. I mean, they were good workers.
Right.
I said, I have to let you go. Well, the next Monday, everybody came in with all new paperwork, new Social Security numbers, new birth certificates. I understand they spent from like $300, $400, $500, $600 over the weekend having that done. I said, okay, Angela. I said, go ahead and check it out. She comes back and she said, well, they won't give us any information. You can't check their Social Security number out unless they're employed. I said, but we can't employ these people, you know, if they're aliens. So how do we know if they're aliens or not?
Right.
And I end up calling. And the reason they send all these people to Atlanta, that's where the Mexican consulate is.
Uh-huh.
I called down to Atlanta, talked to the Mexican consulate. And the lady told me, sir, most of the Mexicans in America are illegal. And she told me to get a green card, you had to be able to do a job that an American citizen couldn't do. She said, now, if you got some nuclear scientist or some, you know, some kind of incredibly well-educated individual there wanting to get a job, they just need to come see us and we'll get them a green card.
Yeah, yeah.
So well, that thing is not as simple as you might think it is. Yeah.
Well, I know, and that's what, you know, having never been an employer like that, you know, I don't know what you do or what the process is to even determine if a Social Security card that you're handed is valid or not. I don't know how you figure that out. Appreciate your call, Gary. Have a great day in Rutherfordton. But I understand that that ICE, that they are investigating these employers down in Mississippi, this in reference to the Mississippi raids. And I guess that's kind of what, you know, part of that has prompted the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America to decide that they want to become the first sanctuary church body, denomination-wide. We'll talk about this more. I'd love to hear from some of you Lutherans. 877-235-9405. Sean Hannity with the Hannity Morning Minute.